It would be impossible for me to really tell the story and take the time that needs to be taken to give you every detail. But make note of John 4 and read this story. Some of you may have heard the story of the woman at the well. And so if you're not familiar with that story, if you have a Bible, John 4, if you will read that and meditate on it even throughout the next day or two or more as you feel led, you will get some things from this story that I could not even possibly fit in to what I feel like the Lord wants us to focus on today. But let's pick up a little bit of the story. I'll tell some more in just a few moments, but enough for you to get a sense for what's about to happen. John 4, we're going to pick up at verse 3. And speaking of Jesus, it says that he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. For most of this message, I'll refer to the New King James, which is a little bit easier to understand. But in the King James, that's pretty strong. He must needs go through Samaria. It's hard to imagine Jesus feeling like, I must do something. I mean, he's God. He can do whatever he wants or not do whatever he wants. But he says, or the scripture says of him, he must needs go. In other words, there's other places he could be, other things he could do, but there is a divine appointment that he cannot miss. And I'm just going to say it wasn't because of geographical reasons that he had to go through Samaria. It was because there was someone that needed God. And what I think is amazing about this story is we also discover that not only was there someone that needed God, God needed someone. I want to be right in the middle of something like that in my life. I hope it's today, and I hope it's even beyond today, that God impacts his divine schedule around what I need, but then he also impacts my schedule around what he needs. I want to preach to you good news for some people. Good news for some people. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. I feel like God wants to speak to us today through his word. Would you help me pray? Those of you that pray with intensity, this is a perfect place to intercede, that there would be no distractions. Lord Jesus, I stand upon the authority of your word and by the power that is in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over every distraction and every deception, every division, every hindrance to you changing our lives, whether it's a guest that needs a miracle or a seasoned saint that needs direction. We seek you, Lord, for your purpose to be fulfilled. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I wonder if you could just begin to worship him and thank him for answering prayer, for hearing our prayer, and for responding to this need. God bless you. You may be seated. I feel like when I just mentioned my title, Good News for Some People, that has a little edge to it, doesn't it? I think I got your attention. In fact, it was just a couple of weeks ago I felt led of the Lord to preach Good Steps for Good People. And what I really wanted to preach today was Good Steps for Bad People. But I thought, man, just saying that sounds offensive, and I really don't want to offend anybody. But let's go there for just a few minutes, because I think it will help us connect with what God wants to say. If I was to preach Good Steps for Bad People, where do we start with a message like that? Who are the bad people? Who do you think are? Let's take a survey. You see, already you can tell there's no way I could get away with preaching like that. Because if you're going to ask yourself who are the bad people, you got to ask yourself, well, who are the good people? And if you start going that way without getting in the Word of God, you're going to make a big mess for yourself and probably somebody else. And so I want to kind of bring us back into reality by quoting from the New Testament from 1 John chapter 1. And the scripture says, "This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." So we can go to church, we can call ourselves Christian, but if we're staying in the dark, then there's something not right with our experience with God. Verse 7, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." And then look at the next verse. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So I can't preach a message about bad people, because in one sense, we're all bad people. And in another sense, we can all be good people, because we're not relying on our own goodness. In fact, all of our righteousness is nothing in the presence of God. But when we give our lives to him, something awesome starts to happen. That's why I have focused on this account of Jesus going to that well near the outskirts of Sychar and visiting with this woman, because let's pick up the story again. We see in verse 5, he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. It was about noontime. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Now, I think this really does attack the issue that God was addressing in this passage, because those original disciples, because of the culture that they were in, they had developed a prejudice against people from Samaria to the degree that this woman knew about their prejudice. And she said, "You know, you're not even supposed to be having dealings with me." And so that's why I am preaching good news for some people. Because I think sometimes, even though we know we all need the grace of God, and even though we all know we're sinners without the cross, sometimes in the application of our Christianity, in our daily living, we kind of think, well, you know, they might be a Christian, but they're probably not a Christian. They might be ready for what God has for them, but them over there, they're probably not ready. It seems like God's already been there and done that. It seems like whatever thought we might negotiate along those lines, the Lord has already showed us that when he brought the good news of his death and burial and resurrection, it was not for one particular denomination of people. It was not for one particular class of people. It was for whomsoever will. Let him come and drink freely. I'm kind of glad about that. Now, I don't know if I would fit in everybody's club. I don't know if I would fit in everybody's clique. I don't know if I would be welcomed in everybody's home. But I thank God for a Savior that opens the door wide and says, "If you want to walk in the light, come on and go with me and receive what God has for you." I'm kind of thankful for a Savior like that. And you say amen? I believe the reason why Jesus was so intentional about showing up at this well on this particular day, in this particular community, at this particular time. You think about it. When those ladies would go forth to draw water from the well, it would be in the morning, maybe before the sun was hot, or in the evening at the end of the day as the air got a little bit cooler. They would get around the well. They would talk about family and circumstance. And yet here's this one lone woman that for some reason we might see a few ideas about why, but the real important thing is she wanted to be alone, possibly because she felt like when I go to the well in the morning or the evening, those ladies, they look down at me. Those others, they start talking about where I've been and what I've done. So Jesus said, I'm going to bust into town at the exact time that woman thinks nobody wants to have anything to do with her and nobody has time for her, and I'm going to let her know whatever you've heard about God, you need to hear the update. And the update is he loves you and he's coming to save you. And I believe that's a message that we need to live out every day of our lives. Come on, the good news is not just for some people. The good news is for all people. Oh, could you clap your hands and thank the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm so thankful that I don't go to a church where I need to preach good news for some people. I would hate a church like that, and I know that's a strong word. So if I've offended you, forgive me, but I just couldn't go to a church that just preached good news for white people. I couldn't go to a church like that. I'm not trying to be offensive to other churches. I couldn't even go to a church that was just good news for black people. I couldn't handle that. I would feel like something is missing. There's something that we got to have here to recognize that the good news is not just for some people. I couldn't even go to a church where it was just good news for Republicans or good news for Democrats or good news for socialists or good news for capitalists. I just got to go to a church that it's good news for everybody. That Jesus died for every single person. And as the spirit of this world tries to divide us and destroy us, we're going to stand firm that we are all together at the foot of the cross. And we all need Jesus. We are all lost without him. But everybody's welcome to pray, to seek the Lord. Amen. In some places, and I'm not trying to be offensive, but today might be a good day to preach good news for Irish people. Y mañana, buenos nuevas por gentes España. Gracias, Jesús. It's amazing how there is so much division and so much distraction in our world today, and yet the reality is we all need Jesus. I don't ever want this to be a church that is good news for poor people or good news for rich people or good news just for Pentecostal people or good news just for Baptist people. Why don't we just recognize that the gospel is good news for all people? The scripture says there is none righteous, no, not one. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you're from. It doesn't matter what education you've received. What matters is Jesus shed his blood for me, and I need the righteousness of God applied to my life. It doesn't matter my political persuasion. It doesn't matter my career choice. What matters is I need Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, as you clap. clap your hands right now. Why don't you just pray, God, I pray for healing in our city. I pray for healing in our nation. I pray for healing in our generation, that we could sit across the table with people that are not like us, with people that don't agree with us, with people that don't understand of us, and we could somehow have access to say, hey, I've got good news for everybody. I've got good news for everybody. Do it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise the name of the Lord. It doesn't matter what you call yourself in one sense. It doesn't matter what your background is. And I don't want to try to say that we don't celebrate heritage and even culture. I believe we can learn a lot from each other and celebrate even our differences. And we should. If there's any place that ought to happen, it ought to be amongst Christians that we can celebrate. In fact, I don't think there's anything Christian even about those that disparage against people of other religions, and even some that do harm to those that don't believe in what we believe. You know what? All of that foolishness is not what Jesus died for. But he came to this cross. He came to this world to hang on the cross so that every single one of us could repent of our sins. We could be baptized in his great name, the name of Jesus. And we could be filled with his spirit. And we could live for him and walk with him. And we could know him. And we could share him. Praise the name of the Lord. And so Jesus sets up this whole scene. And if you look at the story, I can't read every detail, but I'll read one verse that to me is like a shocker. Down through the story, he's interacting with this woman. Great things are happening in her life. But in verse 27, when the disciples come back from going to get food, look at this. And at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he even talked with the woman. And yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? They didn't say that, but they were thinking that. And so that's why Jesus set this scene up. Because he knew there would be prejudice in the world. He knew there would be distraction and division in the world. But he didn't want it amongst his people. And his own disciples would not be able to stomach Jesus loving and leading a Samaritan to a revelation of who he is. So he had to set this up so that when they were out of the way, when they were gone to town worried about their own well-being, he could begin to love on this lady and help her to see more of the truth and understand exactly what he was doing and why he had come. I think it's a wonderful message for each of us to take to our prayer closet and say, Jesus, when it comes to you reaching people on my job, or you reaching people in my neighborhood, or you reaching people in my community, I beg you, Lord, to do a work in my heart so you won't have to bypass me to love somebody that's different than me, so you won't have to go around me to reach somebody that we don't exactly agree on a lot of things. Is there anybody served God long enough that can look to the cross and say, when I see the blood that Jesus shed for me, something in my spirit says, I've got to get past what I don't like about somebody else. I've got to get past what I don't agree with about somebody else. And I've got to say, Jesus, use me, help me to reach somebody. Because the good news is not just for some people. The good news is for all people. Hallelujah! And so, a couple of Sundays ago, I preached good steps for good people. And we all rejoiced, especially when we were honest. Many of us could say, I don't feel like one of the good people. But oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the sacrifice of Calvary. And he has made me good. He has made me righteous. He has ushered me in to really pursue being more like Him, not by my own works, but by His grace, through His Word, and with His Spirit, I can become something I never could be without Him. What an awesome God. What an awesome journey. And as we realize that God was ordering our steps, as the Bible says, Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. There's a little bit of joy and expectation that ought to be in each of us as we recognize, wow, I was headed to hell. Yes, I was a sinner and I was lost, but now I'm on my way to heaven, and God's got His hand upon my life, and God's got a future and favor for my family. And so even though there's troubles and struggles, my past is not going to keep me from the future that God has for me. My sins are not going to disqualify me from the ministry that God has purposed for me. And what I want to add to that today is this simple thought that while He's ordering our steps, it's not just for our personal benefit. It's not just for our own advancement. He is literally ordering our steps beyond our personal comfort, beyond our personal needs. He is ordering our steps to someone that we can share the good news that it is for everybody. I want to be open to that. I want to be a part of that. Those disciples, you know, if you really read into the text, you discover that they were about as prejudiced as anybody. And they were followers of Jesus. But when it came to needing some food, they kind of looked past their prejudice. In other words, if I can take advantage of something from you, I can look past what I don't like about you. Boy, that's human nature, isn't it? When I'm around my buddies, I can talk about how much I hate your guts. But if you can do something that helps me, well, come on, man, come on over. There's no room for that in the church. No room for that as followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. God's helping us today. He's trying to reveal to us today. I once was lost in sin, and He came and saved me, and now I'm trying to walk with Him, and I want to be a vessel that He can use to reach other people. But those disciples were quick to walk into that city that was filled with Samaritans and say, hey, you got any meat? Where's the meat? But when it came to an opportunity to share the gospel, the good news, then all of a sudden the walls were, well, I'm not sure they're ready. I'm not sure they want it. I'm not sure they're the kind of people that would respond. We need to be honest with God and say, Jesus, as You order my steps, I am in my school because there's someone that's hungry for You. I'm in my neighborhood because there's someone that's hungry for You. I'm in my job because there's someone that's hungry for You. And I'm not going to put up walls. I'm not going to disqualify this one and that one because of where they come from or what they look like or what they believe. I'm just going to say, order my steps, Lord. Order my steps so I can share the good news with somebody that needs You. Is there anybody that could raise their hand and they could pray that prayer and say, Jesus, I want You to order my steps and lead me to somebody that I can share the good news with, somebody that needs Your love, somebody that needs the message and the truth of Calvary, somebody that needs to know about repentance and baptism and the Holy Ghost, someone that needs to know about walking in the Spirit. Lord Jesus, lead me. Verse 27 of John 4, it says about the disciples that they marveled that He talked with this woman. And I felt like the Lord challenged me. Maybe He'll challenge some of you with this. He kind of said, when's the last time somebody marveled that you were talking to somebody? When was the last time somebody marveled that you were having lunch with somebody that was so different than you? You can see where that got my attention, right? That's part of this story we don't want to ignore. Because everybody on the job knows what you believe. And you know, they might be surprised to see you go up to that person and say, hey, you want to have lunch this week? They might say, man, I thought she was so holy, she'd never hang out with somebody. You know what I'm saying? The disciples marveled because with all of their prejudice, they thought there's no way that Jesus would talk to someone like that. And maybe as the body of Christ, we ought to break through some ideas that are out there in this world that, you know, those kind of Christians, they wouldn't talk to those people. They wouldn't help those people. They wouldn't love those people. Come on, why don't we just show people that Jesus loves everybody and that the gospel is good news for everybody. I'm talking about more than just a message on Sunday. How about something that gets a hold of our hearts that says, Jesus, order my steps, order my steps, order my steps, until I'm loving people that other people would be surprised I even noticed them. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hey, you know what we can do for homework? And I think it's good if you have a couple weeks to do this. Maybe 3 weeks. However long you need, but don't take more than like a month because it'll be gone by then. Why don't you practice even right here? How many of you could think of at least one family in this church that although you go out with your friends on a Sunday after church, you've never gone out with them? That'd be a good way to start. I mean, some of you, you're like, you know what? Pastor, I don't even have money. I'm just rice and beans and rice. We don't go out anywhere. We'll be home. Well, you might benefit because somebody might target you. And if you were raised the way I was raised, if it's free food, you're going to put all that other stuff aside. I mean, I hate the way he sings. I hate the way he preaches. I hate the way he looks. But if he's going to buy my dinner, come on, man. I love you, man. I'm going to bring the whole family. In fact, I got some relatives that are coming over, too. But I would love for us to take from this simple story and at least be honest and say, wow, if Jesus' own disciples could have all kinds of walls up and they could be so sucked into the culture that they're walking around saying, man, we're disciples of Jesus and we got it together and we're right there with the Messiah, but we don't talk to people like that. I wonder if we could just realize if disciples could be like that in Jesus' day, disciples could be like that in our day. So let's just break that down with a mentality that says, you know what? I'm going to make sure that that doesn't have anything in me, that the spirit of this world doesn't have anything in me. Come on, I wonder if you just raise your hand. I wonder if you would stand for a moment. I'm not done yet, but just stand for a moment and say, Jesus, I want to cross some barriers. I want to cross some lines. Jesus, I want to connect with somebody, if for any other reason, just to acknowledge with my life that the gospel is good news for everybody. You may be seated for just a few more moments. Thank you for praying that prayer. I believe God will answer that prayer. I thank God for my mom. I thank God for my family. But growing up without a dad in my home, growing up in a situation where I could have felt negative about a lot of things in my life, there were people in the church that came alongside of me. They were like a dad to me. Amen. They were willing to cross certain barriers and certain things that could have divided us, if you will. You know, just so many things I won't even care to mention, because in some ways I might strike close to home, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable, but I do know I'm standing here today because there were individuals that didn't look at my background, didn't look at my nationality, didn't look at anything that was a negative or a shortcoming. I had nothing to offer, but they knew Jesus died for that young man. He needs a ride to church. I'm going to be that ride to church. He needs somebody to come alongside him and help him see what a man of God looks like and acts like. I thank God for people like that. Praise God. One of them happens to be right here. Brother Robert Catani was like a disciple maker in my life. A disciple maker. You know, as far as I know, he's never been a preacher. He teaches the word of God with excellence. He's never pastored a church. But you know what? He made a disciple out of me. He was able to look past some things and say, you know, I believe everybody in this building can go and make disciples. I thank God for how we give so the gospel can go around the world. I thank God for serving our generation so that we can reach out places like the Ronald McDonald House and Bethesda Center. And all of those things are awesome, and please don't stop. But what if each one of us took the personal responsibility to say, I'm going to find someone that maybe other people wouldn't talk to, and maybe they wouldn't even think I would have time to talk to, but I'm going to go sit at that well and I'm going to build a relationship until that person receives a revelation of who Jesus is and they discover that Calvary was for them and the purpose of God is for them as well. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's one more part of this story I think is important for us to acknowledge, and that is found in the book of John, again, chapter 4, now verse 23. I mentioned this at the beginning of my message. John 4 and 23, again from the New King James Version. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus had a divine appointment at that well because he knew that somebody needed God. But he also had a divine appointment at that well because he knew that God needed somebody to worship him in spirit and in truth. This woman was already a worshiper. This woman already had a faith in God. You can read the story and you can talk about her mistakes and her mess ups, and there's different things you might could receive from the reading of this story and say, wow, she was messed up. But if you dig a little bit deeper, you'll say there was something in this lady that was already hungry for more of God. There was something in this lady that was already seeking God. I'm not going to read every verse. I'm almost done with this message. But if you read it closely, yeah, you might see her mistakes and you might see areas where there were challenges. But you will also see here is a lady that really wants to worship God. And God is seeking for people like that. That may not have all of the understanding. They may not have all of their stuff together. But there's something in their soul that says, if I knew him, I would love him. If somebody could show me, I would serve him. I would worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is seeking for somebody just like that. That's why the gospel is not just good news for some people. It's good news for all people, because there's some people that cannot worship God the way you and I worship God. There's some people that cannot seek God the way we seek God. And somehow, some way, if we could get the Spirit to them, if we could get the truth to them, they would begin to worship God in a way that is so powerful. is seeking for people to worship him that way. I wish everybody could hear what I'm about to say. It's so simple, but it's so important. Sometimes in our attempt to be strategic with our witness, we have been negligent with our witness. Because the Bible says this, as the musicians come, this is Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We have become so strategic with our witness that we do all of this good that I preached about, but we don't give people spirit and truth. And they never get to glorify God the way God has called them to glorify him. They worship him, but it's not in spirit and truth. And we're so careful, we're so concerned, we're so strategic that we end up being negligent. Because when we do all this good, they're impressed with us. And they might even be drawn closer to us, but they're not drawn closer to him. They're not impressed with him. Because that's a spirit in our world right now that we're fighting as well. We all just be good to each other, all love each other, all, but nobody is focusing on really worshiping him in spirit and in truth. We all pat each other on the back because we don't raise any eyebrows. We don't cause any stir. Yeah, you've got your faith. I got my faith. We all do our own thing. But God is seeking for someone to worship him in spirit and in truth. And the reason why we're reaching out to those people and loving those people and caring for those people, the reason why people have reached out to us and loved us and cared for us is because God has been in all of it and he's been seeking for somebody. Oh, if you could know me the way I want to know me, or I want you to know me, you could love me and serve me and worship me in spirit and in truth. Because in the end, there will not be a difference between Jews and Samaritans. There will not be a difference between red and yellow, black and white. There will be worshipers. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And God is so desperate, so excited, so anxious, and that's a strong word, but so wanting people to worship him with a true revelation of who he is, that he puts you on that job, he places you in that school, he puts you in that neighborhood, so that you, through loving people, would not just win them to you, you would win them to him. You would win them to the Spirit, to the truth, to who he is. Would you stand? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord Jesus, right now in this atmosphere, I have tried my best, Lord, to take us to a point where you could begin to really, really work in our hearts. That this would be more than just a message that we hear and throw in a few amens and clap our hands a little bit, and then we go back to our separate lives. We ignore those at the well that don't look like us. We ignore those at the well that don't believe what we believe. Or at the very least, we try to do good and try to be kind, but we never take it to that point where they can really know you. Oh God, something inside of us is hungry for more than that. Something inside of us is seeking for more than that. I wonder if all across this building we could raise our hands, if you're comfortable raising your hands, and you could just say, Jesus, I'm raising my hand as if to say, I'm available, Lord. I'm available, Lord, to be someone you can work through. I'm available, Lord, to be someone you can minister to. I'm available, Lord, to be someone you can transform by your power. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Oh God, I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me for areas in this message where you have convicted me. God, to go to another level in what I have preached about today, to go to another level in making disciples, Lord, to go to another level in being able to share spirit and truth with someone that needs you and they're hungry for you, Lord. God, I'm asking you right now to hear my prayer and cleanse me and prepare me, God. Order my steps, God, I pray, to reach somebody, to reach somebody that you are reaching for right now. In your own words, right where you're standing, would you respond to this message and respond to this atmosphere with your own conversation with God? Whatever it may be for you, it could be totally different than what it is for me. But would you have just a brief conversation with the Lord right where you're standing? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hear every prayer right now. Jesus, respond to every need right now. Jesus, prepare us and transform us right now. God, I say, God, I love us. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? Praise God. If you are sick in your body, or if you need a miracle in your life, or if you need God to do something for you today, in just a moment we're all going to come and we're going to pray and God's going to do some great things. But I'd love for you to try something. It's going to take a lot of guts. And if some of you don't want to try it, just don't worry. Nobody's going to be watching. But I wonder what it would be like. There's a part of the service sometimes where we say, go greet somebody. We're not doing that right now. But you know that, where we say, go talk to somebody, high five somebody, fist bump somebody. You know what I'm talking about? I wonder what it would be like if I could go to somebody and say, hey, you want to go pray together? You want to go? And they might say, no, no, I'm okay. All right, no problem. I can find somebody else. All right, you want to go pray together? You sure? All right, you come. Oh, my goodness. Come out here for just a minute. How'd you get on the second row, man? They put you on the second row. Oh my goodness. It's so awesome. Just stay right where you are. This is fun. It's so awesome when you get that sincere, man, it's good to see you. It's awesome. And I believe in 99% of the chance, it's probably sincere almost all the time, right? But as much as I might say it's good to see you, if I could say you want to pray. Because the altar's not a place for like nasty, dirty sinners. I don't know who those people are, you know. It's good news is for everybody, right? So if somebody invites you to pray, that's not a reason for you to say, well, what do they think? They think I'm, what do they think? Because I missed a few services. And you know, when they get up here, and he may not make it up here by the time I'm done. When they get up here, you know what I'm saying? Don't do one of these. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of slip a hand on a shoulder. Oh, God, bless my friend. And don't do one of those, oh, God, I don't know what his problem is. He wasn't here last Sunday. He's going to split hell wide open, Lord. He's going to hell with his gasoline shorts. I got the lighter in my hand, God. That's where he's at. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. But why not just pray, God, bless my brother. Bless my brother. Anybody want to try that? I know it's going to be awkward, but just find someone. It could be the person you came with, or it could be someone you don't know. But why don't you come to the altar, but not alone today, and just say, we're just going to pray for God to bless. We're just going to pray. You know why? Because there's got to be good news for somebody up here, and it might as well be you. It might as well be her. It might as well be him. There's got to be some good news up here for somebody. There's got to be a blessing up here for somebody. There's got to be a healing up here for somebody. Don't feel like you're not welcome. Don't feel like you're not invited. Don't feel like you've got to stay back. Just come on up here and say, you know what? I believe Jesus died for me, and I'm going to receive what I need today. I believe that Jesus died for me, and I'm going to receive what I need today.